The Office of Management and Budget has guidance on cyber acquisition on the street, but a close look from the Professional Services Council yields the judgment it's too little, too late, and too flexible. Dave Winogrand is Senior Vice President of Technology for the Professional Services Council and my first guest on Industry Chatter today. Mr. Winogrand, it's good to talk to you as always. The overall response, before we get into the three specifics that I mentioned, to the guidance from the Office of Management and Budget, the guidance out August 11th, and you've taken about a month now to respond to it. What do you see overall?
So, good morning, Francis. Cyber is a national imperative, and we applaud OMB's engagement. You need look no farther than the 30-day cyber sprint to see agencies actually making progress on things that had been hanging around for over a decade because OMB's engaged. So we're delighted that OMB's engaged on the topic of cybersecurity and acquisition. But the challenge with the draft guidance as it's written is it just leaves too much open and not well understood. And the key here to raising the bar in cybersecurity will be to have standardized, consistent approaches across agencies. Companies do business with more than one agency, so to be able to report once, to have compliance regimes that are actually about outcomes, not about heavy burdens that don't provide outcomes, and to avoid double standards where we set a ridiculously high bar for industry while we let government agencies operate at a different level, because as you all know, cyber hackers and stuff, they always find the weakest link. So we have to raise the bar together.
All right. Let's look at each of these in turn. The first is too little, and the letter that you sent to Ann Rung and Tony Scott says it's too little because it fails to provide meaningful uniform guidance to the federal agencies and contractors in the five areas covered. Isn't it possible that that was the point of releasing this guidance, to allow that uniform guidance to coalesce for them to become fully informed about what it should include?
Yeah, well, we clearly need uniform guidance, but the draft guidance says, and launch now, right? Go start implementing this before we actually have that conversation about what the uniform guidance should look like. But if you pull back a little bit, you'll see there is a lot of NIST guidance out, NIST standards, and there is guidance on controlled and classified information. And so we need to, rally around that stuff. Controlled and classified information affects this broad set of things, not just systems that companies operate on behalf of the government, but internal business systems of companies if they were to hold some government-controlled and classified information, which is highly likely, acquisition-sensitive, financial-sensitive information. And those two types of systems have different requirements and different impacts in terms of access and how a government would look into them and what the government would do with their hardware and stuff. And so, rather than launching everybody out on a path that says, even though we have CUI guidance that says do this or that, that people could just sort of be much more flexible than that, we'll just, add more chaos rather than help bring us together. Because one of the biggest challenges our companies have seen in recent years is, sporadic guidance from different organizations. The Department of Defense has already issued interim DFARS guidance, acquisition guidance, that's already in place and in effect. And so, so you got to kind of get this thing together and have the right set of policy guidance that's being used by everybody consistently.
President, your boss, Stan Soloway, also writes, significant areas of cybersecurity protection, such as the need for common cyber definitions for federal acquisition, aren't addressed. What should those definitions look like, do you think, Dave?
Well, there are a couple of key issues here. You want people to exercise good cybersecurity hygiene, and then you want them to report on that on things that happen, so we can share information and all be wiser together. But we have to have liability protections for companies, because otherwise you could be exercising great cybersecurity hygiene, and no matter how good you are, you still have the potential to be successfully hacked in today's world. And so you have to be able to report on the information that's if a compromise takes place without it necessarily harming you if you haven't done anything wrong. You look at other initiatives like the Defense Industrial Base Initiative, and they have very clear guidance about, I'll say, sort of immunity if you haven't done anything wrong, right? That if you did your best and something bad happened, that by sharing information, it won't come back to haunt you. Because otherwise, you're discouraging rather than encouraging the conversation between government and industry.
Dave Winogrand, Senior Vice President of Technology at the Professional Services Council, and the PSC commenting on cybersecurity acquisition guidance that the Office of Management and Budget posted. The too late part of your response to this, Dave, includes this comment: OMB guidance is inconsistent with existing guidance and rules promulgated by other agencies. I can certainly see why that would be confusing for your members and others in the vendor community who are trying to partner with agencies on this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what we would hope for, right? I mean, there is a acquisition regulatory process with public comment that ends up in changes to the FAR and guidance that gets given out, and that may be where we need to go because, as I mentioned a moment ago, DOD, the Defense Department, has already issued acquisition guidance. There are other agencies going different ways, And if we don't get this right, then we will create, you know, these whole lot of extra cost, but not an extra improvement in terms of security outcomes. And there are some interesting models. I mentioned the Defense Industrial Base. The Department of Defense also has their computer security, provider stuff. And so there are different things that you could look at that could be best practices here. And, boy, we really need to raise the bar, but we need to raise the bar in a collective way because otherwise we're creating all this cost and drag, but we're not going to improve the outcomes of security.
The final point is too flexible. And I keep hearing all of the time in all areas, not just in cyber, but agencies are yearning for more flexibility in various ways. Why isn't flexibility good in this case, Dave?
Well, there's a difference between recognizing that there are different levels of information that require different levels of protection, and you're right, we need to move from a security mantra that just says security through denial of service and move to security that, you know, helps you share information more securely. But the flexibility we're talking about here is if you're business company X and you're doing business with six federal agencies and for the same type of sensitive but unclassified information, you have this completely different set of requirements about what has to be done to protect it and stuff, but you're all over the map. And if a breach were to happen and you have to report this way to this person and that way to this person, you're creating huge drags. And so we need to have a path that allows us to actually focus more on cybersecurity outcomes that will make a difference. And we need to have guidance that will help ensure that when we say, hey, follow this NIST guidance for this type of information, that folks are actually doing that. Otherwise, you run into this problem where, you know, FedRAMP is a wonderful way to help improve security for cloud solutions, but the goal of it was to get commercial solutions into government faster. But yet you see in implementations now, people are either, you know, not using it right or asking for it before you actually submit your bid, or worst case, the recent DISA press release that said, hey, you know, we got 23 solutions we've deemed worthy. We've given them a provisional authorization, but before you can actually use them, you're going to have a DoD component now do an authority to operate. And oh, by the way, all 23 of these solutions have already received an authority to operate from a civilian agency. And so, you know, how do we help bring speed and better security practices? Because otherwise, you're just going to slow down the ability to raise security, and that will leave us in the place where we are today.
We just have a minute or so left. I tease your boss all the time about his ebullience, and I know, but I note that in this particular letter, he was quite diplomatic, calling for either significantly enhancing the current OMB guidance coverage or withdrawing the OMB guidance completely. That's a very nice way of saying either redo it or tear it up and start over, isn't it?
Well, like I said at the start of this conversation, this is a really important topic, and we're grateful that Tony Scott is engaged on it. He's the right guy for the job, but I think that this guidance may have been like delivered before we'd actually had the chance to work through some of these issues, because you're right. At this point in time, you either need to make it actually reflect the need to raise the bar together in a consistent way that doesn't create an awful double standard, but instead improves security across the board, or else, you know, there is another process, and that's the acquisition process that we go through where we publicly comment before acquisition guidance becomes reality.
Dave, I'm grateful for you coming on and talking about your position on this. It is a serious issue and very important, and I thank you for your input today, my friend.
Absolutely. It's great talking to you, Francis.